Good morning and welcome to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm not Larry Mantle. Larry is on vacation this week and I'm really happy to be here with you. Thanks for sticking with us while Larry is away. First up, let's go to Portland, Oregon, where federal law enforcement agents sent by the Trump administration have been using tear gas and pulling people into unmarked vehicles to break up nightly protests against police violence. The Portland mayor says he doesn't want the feds involved, and House Democrats are demanding an investigation. That city has become the center of a growing conversation about the use of tactical units from Customs and Border Protection and other agencies to protect federal buildings and police officers. Department of Homeland Security Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli dismissed concerns this morning, saying the tactics were so common they're barely worth discussing. So we want to go deeper on this issue, but first we have a special guest on the line, and I know that he's got limited time, so we're going to start with him. Chris David joins me now. He's a former Navy officer and a Portland resident, and if you were on social media over the weekend, you probably know Chris. He's the protester in the Navy sweatshirt who was beaten by federal law enforcement and then pepper sprayed, and a video of that incident, including the gesture that he made as he walked away from the federal law enforcement, went viral yesterday. Hi, Chris. Thank you very much for making the time. I know it's been a busy 24 hours.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy, but good morning anyway.
Yeah, welcome. And first off, I just want to ask, what is your reason for showing up on Saturday night at the protest? I understand this wasn't normal for you to be out, protesting.
My first protest. I hadn't been going, although I probably should have gone before now. But the triggering event for me was seeing the video of these, I don't know what they are, they call them little green men, but the men walking around in military fatigues with no insignia, abducting people off the streets of Portland and putting them into unmarked vans. That outraged me. I was enraged when I saw that. And that's actually sort of the precipitating event that drove me to go out there. I wanted to ask them why they were violating their oaths to the Constitution.
And that's the tactic that Homeland Security Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli was addressing this morning on CNN. He said that law enforcement everywhere occasionally uses unmarked vehicles and that, you know, it's such a common tactic. It's not something to be remarked upon. But for you, seeing folks in what look like camo military fatigues on the streets of your city as a veteran, that inspired you to want to come and talk to them, right?
Absolutely. I wanted to go down there and ask them if they thought that this was right. And so I put on all the Navy stuff that I had so that I would hope that since these guys, I'm assuming a lot of them are vets, that it would at least give them pause so that I could talk to them. I came down there specifically that night to get up and talk to them.
And you approached this line of mostly men who were in the fatigues, in helmets, and kind of protecting this building. And what happened?
Well, I started trying to talk to them, but everybody was sort of screaming. And even them, they were in a sort of a really heightened state of aggression. Probably because of fear, because my speculation is they weren't trained to do this. And the reason I believe that is from an very close upfront observation of what they were doing, there didn't seem to be any kind of coherent tactics to what they were doing. To a great degree, they were acting like a mob with sticks. And if you notice when that guy, that little dude off to my left, started whacking me with the baton, it didn't seem to bother him at all because he even hit me in the back as I was walking away. Hmm. So if this is something that's so common that it's not to be remarked upon, I don't know what that says about our country anymore.
And I want to mention the tactical issue. The New York Times got a hold of a DHS memo over the weekend that indicated that most of these federal law enforcement agents that have been deployed by DHS indeed haven't had the kind of training that involve crowd control, things that you would encounter when you are trying to police a protest, because they are used to doing law enforcement at the border and doing drug busts and things like that. So as you walked up, Chris, and you tried to engage in a dialogue with these, as you mentioned, many of them may be former military members as well, and you know, off to your left in the video, you can see one of the agents takes a stick and begins hitting you. I mean, what are you thinking at that point? Because you seem to just stand there like a tree, like you don't even kind of react as you're getting beaten.
Well, one of the officers had a weapon pointed at me. So if I reacted, would I have been shot? Is that also a tactic that's so common as to not be remarked upon?
So you were trying to keep your cool and stand your ground, but not engage in anything that was going to inflame the situation anymore, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, I stood my ground unarmed, and they still chose to beat the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that little dude hit me in the back as I was walking away and had been blinded by a couple blasts of pepper spray.
And you sustained injuries. You went to the hospital. How are you doing? What were the injuries?
Well, I've got a couple fractures in my hand, and I'm going to have surgery either later this week or early next week to have some plates and screws and pins, you know, inserted in there.
Mm. I'm speaking with Chris David, a former Navy officer and a Portland resident. You probably saw a video of him yesterday if you were on social media. He went viral because he was walking up during one of the protests on Saturday night in Portland to speak with some of the federal agents who were there in camo fatigues, trying to protect federal buildings in that city. And Chris, as he stood unarmed, was beaten by one of the federal agents and then pepper sprayed. And so I see you walking away when you get pepper sprayed there, Chris, as most people would. You know, at that point, did you think that something worse would happen to you? I mean, what's going through your mind as you're getting hit, you're trying to keep your cool, and you've got pepper spray in your face?
Well, I figured that was the end of it. They had their fun, so I was going to walk away. But the problem was I couldn't see anymore, and I walked into a giant cloud of tear gas. So my first priority at that point was to get as far away from them as I could, just because I was choking and I couldn't see.
And I mean, this is your first protest. It's obviously something that you fought for. You served in the Navy, and it's something that people who serve in the military are sworn to protect, the Constitution. How are you thinking about what's going on in Portland now after seeing what you saw firsthand, after experiencing what you did firsthand?
Well, I'm still enraged about it, but getting a very close-up perspective, I can tell that there's no plan that's actually being implemented. There's a goal. They want to get rid of the protesters, but they just don't have a plan. They're doing the same thing over and over again every night with the same result, and the protests are only getting bigger.
What do you hope the video that went viral of you, I mean, people are calling you, you know, a badass because you look so, you know, strong as you stand there unarmed again and you're getting beaten by federal agents. People are idolizing you. I think, you know, you probably feel a mix of emotions and you are exhausted after this weekend, but what do you hope the video does as more and more people see what happened when you tried to speak with some of these agents in Portland?
I want this to be a call to arms to my fellow vets to not tolerate this anymore.
And you want fellow veterans to become part of a political movement or part of the protests?
A political movement, just this whole thing started because of the Black Lives movement, right? Mm. That's really the whole goal and point of what's going on here. It has nothing to do with, you know, me getting beaten up by the feds. The biggest point and the biggest goal behind all of this is the Black Lives movement. And I think that's getting lost here in this conversation. So I'd like us to get back to that core point. And I'd like, as a call to arms to my fellow vets, to go out there and get involved and support it.
Chris, is there anything else that you want to say? And I know you're recovering. You're going to have surgery on your hand. Anything else that you want to say about what occurred in Portland or what you hope going forward?
I love this city and I love the people in it. And this invasion of thugs is not wanted, nor is it warranted.
Chris David, Navy veteran and a Portland resident. His actions at the protest on Saturday night in downtown Portland went viral because they were captured on video. He stood his ground unarmed and was beaten by federal law enforcement and pepper sprayed. And Chris, thank you very much for joining us here on 89.3 KPCC. We wish you well in your recovery.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me on.
Also joining us right now is Tuck Woodstock, independent journalist who's been covering the protests in Portland. And Tuck has bylines with Portland Mercury, the Washington Post, NPR, and more. And if you want to follow Tuck, they tweet at Tuck Woodstock. Tuck, we have been watching from afar. We've been watching on CNN and local news cameras and the social media images that are captured. What can you tell me about what's going on in the streets of Portland every night and what has happened since these federal agents have arrived?
It's really interesting because we've been out there for more than 50 days. I've been out there as a journalist. Other folks are out there as, you know, protesters, medics, legal observers, volunteers. And I am really glad that national attention has turned to the protests going on in Portland now that the federal agents are there. But I think it's really important to remember that the tactics used by the federal agents were not particularly surprising to us because they did closely match the tactics that were already being used by the Portland Police Bureau and Multnomah County Sheriff's Office for several weeks before the federal agents arrived. You know, the Portland Police Bureau was also tear gassing folks. They were also using less lethal munitions. I mean, there is a now very viral story about the federal agents shooting an unarmed protester straight in the head with less lethal munitions. But Portland Police Bureau has also done that, and Multnomah County Sheriff, so sorry, I only slept 3 hours, has also done that. There are stories about the federal agents like pulling people into unmarked vans, but Portland police has also been pulling people in and out of cars, you know? And so it's important to show that federal agents are doing this because it's harder as a city for Portland to hold the federal agents accountable. But I think it's also important to look at the tactics being used by city, state, and county officials as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I've been covering the protests in Los Angeles and our reporters here and including Josie Huang, have been out weekly and at many of the major protests that are still going on. And we've seen even one of our own reporters hit with one of the less lethal rounds in his neck and having to go to the hospital. You know, we know that there are tactics that are being questioned and investigations going on in many cities on the way that protests have been cracked down on, the way police are attending to crowds, the way that they maybe are creating confrontations or, you know, overuse of tactics that are not appropriate in the situation of a peaceful protest. But I think Portland specifically, because of these images of the federal law enforcement that have arrived and are kind of seen as this outside force policing what's going on the ground, it's really captured a lot of the nation's attention and had a lot of us wondering, is our city next? You know, is Los Angeles, if protests heat up again here, going to see a similar response from the White House? And so I think that's why we're really curious about what's happening in Portland. And Tuck Woodstock joining us, independent journalist. They have bylines with the Portland Mercury and all kinds of media up there in Portland. What are you hearing from, you know, the legal experts or the legal folks who are on the ground in Portland? Because I know most of these protests also have people doing pro bono legal work and, you know, trying to talk to protesters about their rights if they get arrested. Do you hear anything from these folks in this community about what recourse there may be if there is an overstep by these federal agents?
Yeah, it is interesting because Portland Police Bureau, as I mentioned, was using these tactics that many people found objectionable. And there were actually several restraining orders filed by various groups against the Police Bureau that prevented them from using certain tactics, or at least, you know, recommended strongly that they don't use those certain tactics. And so they actually, you know, scaled back a little bit of their violent tactics. And now these federal agents are out there and none of that applies to them. So just to take one example, there's a restraining order by the ACLU that Portland police can no longer arrest or assault journalists, which should not have to be a legal mandate, but it did. And Portland police has not always followed that, but they are, you know, there's legal recourse if they don't follow that. There is no such thing right now at this moment for the federal agents. And so they can theoretically, you know, assault and arrest me for trying to film, for doing my job, and I would have no recourse really for that. So yeah, what I'm hearing from legal experts is also that getting charges dropped by protesters would be, you know, much, much less likely, because if a protester is arrested by Portland police, they're going up against our new DA, Mike Schmidt, who is seen as fairly progressive and may drop the charges. If you're arrested by federal agents, they're federal charges, so they may be more severe. You cannot be released on bail because there's no bail in that system. And also the charges are, you know, really by the federal government. They're by William Barr, and they're likely to be much harsher, much less lenient. And so, yeah, that's been interesting to sort of learn more about as well. I'm certainly not a legal expert, but that's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting in the overlapping Venn diagrams of what's going on in Portland between the local law enforcement and the DA, and then what happens with federal charges and the Attorney General of the United States. I mean, that's a whole new maze to navigate for folks there. Final question, Tuck, is there anything that you see changing here in the next few days? Obviously, the nightly protests in Portland are going to continue. They've ramped up because of this federal crackdown. What's next? I mean, where's the breaking point here?
You know, what's really interesting is that, like I said, I've been out here for, this is the eighth week, and I was out last night, and the crowd felt as big and as energized and as diverse in the demographics of folks there as it did for the very first week. Like, the protests had dwindled down, even with the federal agents here, the protests had dwindled down to maybe 100, 150 people per night. And then all of a sudden, with all of this national attention, it's back up to more than 1,000 people per night. We have all of these people who are self-identifying as, like, concerned moms and dads coming out in blocks. We have, like, city officials coming to see what's going on. And so I think that they're just getting bigger from here. And I really have no idea when this is going to wrap up.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that we are confronting in cities across the country as the protests that were sparked by George Floyd's death and killing by the Minneapolis Police Department. And then, of course, ongoing racial injustice and calls for defunding the police. All of this wrapped up in protests that are ongoing in different cities. But Portland certainly seems to be the nexus of a lot of these issues. Tuck Woodstock, independent journalist, thank you so much for joining us here on Air Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the legacy of Congressman John Lewis, who died on Friday. And we'll have a check-in on voting rights in the United States, because that was one of his key platforms and key things that he fought for over the years. I'm Libby Denkman, in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk. Back after this short break.